Hello, and welcome back to Visiting Dugout, a Fans First Sports Network production. I'm Crystal O'Keefe, podcaster, managing editor, writer, everything for Southside Sox. And today I have Brett on to discuss the Phillies. So welcome. Please feel free to introduce yourself.
Thanks for having me. My name's Brett. I currently am working as contributor for Sox on 35th, but I also am a fan of the Phillies. So I'm very excited to chat about my second favorite team and kind of get that fandom out there a little bit too.
Yeah, for sure. I was briefly a Phillies fan when they had Andrew McCutchen. I actually still I have the shirt. Whoops. So what is new in Philly?
Well, as of last night, we saw one of the, I think only two complete games in the MLB. Ranger Suarez threw a complete game shutout last night. That was exciting.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, it was against the Rockies, but it was still awesome night. Glad to see that something, you know, went well, because it's been kind of a, it's been a weird start for the Phillies this year.
Yeah, for sure. In the off season, did they pick up anybody great? Like, how would you grade that off season?
Well, they were the first ones to really start this off season, where they re-signed Aaron Nola, got a good extension on him, glad to keep him around. But the conversation that kind of Rob Thompson and some of the administration guys were having is that, do we need to build really? And the kind of resounding answer was almost no, but we did acquire a few pieces. We ended up getting Spencer Turnbull, who we'll see later on, and also got Whit Merrifield, who's also a nice bench piece for us, although his bat could be a little better right now.
That's fair. So the Phillies are second in the NL East, just under Atlanta, but as we know, Atlanta has a man down right now with Spencer Strider. So, sorry, Strider. Sorry, Atlanta fans. But is this kind of the time that they steal the top? Because, you know, the Marlins and the Nats, they're not great. The Mets, who even knows anymore? So is this the time to kind of sneak through?
You know, with this stretch for the Phillies of they're playing the Rockies right now, who are not great.
Yeah,
they're playing our White Sox, who we very well know. It's not going too hot. This is going to be a time to really kind of inject some life into the offense a little bit, because the offense has struggled a little bit these first 2 weeks of the season. So I think this is going to be time to kind of really close the gap to the Braves and try to keep it competitive from here on out, because the Phillies are lucky where most of the team is healthy, minus Taijuan Walker. That's mm-hmm. pretty much the only, like, major injury we're dealing with at the moment.
Knock on wood. So are you feeling confident though going into the season where they're at right now?
Yeah, I mean, we had some great momentum going, you know, making that good kind of August September run into the playoffs, having a good playoff run, although it came a little short of what most people wanted. Mm-hmm. But I mean, still, we saw a lot of good things from both pitching side of things and the hitting side of things, which is why you're seeing a lot of consistency with the guys who are on the roster, who play every day, and as well as the pitching staff too. You're seeing a lot of consistency from 2023 to 2024, just with some little minor additions here and there.
Yeah. So what is it like to have players that actually hit home runs? Because you've got, you've got Harper, you've got Romuto, you've got Castellanos. Like, what is that like?
You know, the first 2 weeks when the offense has been a little cold, it's been tough. But, you know, if you have Schwarber and Harper and JT and even Trey Turner and Brandon Marsh and Castellanos, like, you can name, you know, half the lineup can go yard.
Yeah.
And it makes it really fun, which is why I became a fan of the team in the first place, because you got all these dudes hitting home runs. The personalities are really, really fun, and mm-hmm. they just make games electric to watch.
Yeah, Bryce Harper in general is just a really good dude. As a joke, what do you think will happen to the world the next time Nick does hit a home run, though? Because we always have that prediction of something awful happening.
think I lost you for a sec there.
Oh, you're fine.
Sorry, one more time.
As a joke, what, you know, like world event is going to happen next time Nick does hit a home run?
Oh, I was really thinking, someone just passed away a couple days ago.
OJ?
When OJ died, everyone thought that was going to be it. You know, a lot of friends like reached out and they were like, oh, Castellanos is going yard today, right? Was really hoping for it. Didn't happen, but, someone's going to pass away soon and it's going to happen once again. or maybe another bridge collapses or some catastrophe happens.
Another earthquake in New York.
The track record he's growing with that is it's comical at this point, but he's been so cold to start the year that he needs to just do something.
Yeah. I took my kids to Great American Ballpark, and they have this really neat museum in there. And there's a part where you can go like sit in a broadcast booth. You can be on radio. You could be on broadcast, and it like gives you this kind of scroll of what to say. And I told my son, I was like, I need you to read this.
I already know.
He was like, what does this even mean? And I was like, so this guy said a bad thing on a hot mic. And then Nick Castellanos hit a home run and he had to call it in that moment. So I just need you, just for me. He was so confused, but.
Oh my gosh. That's hilarious. During the playoffs last year, a bunch of my like just baseball friends, when Castellanos had that run of like hitting a bunch of home runs, I got four texts at once one time saying, and there's a deep drive to left field. I'm like, oh my God, they understand. They get it. This is awesome.
Oh, I love it. Another thing, these City Connects, they've been a little controversial. How do you feel about them?
You know, they look a lot better on the players than I think. And that's how a lot of these uniforms are, is that they look better on the guys than the actual mock-ups or whatnot. I really love the hat. I really want to get the hat. The hat with like the Liberty Bell and just it being like colored, the blue and the yellow. Like, I really want to get the hat.
I love the colors. The only issue are those like funky numbers where they're not even like,
you know,
on the back.
Maybe everyone was really complaining about Trey Turner 7.
Yeah.
But I actually kind of dig it. Like, my favorite number is 7, so I like seeing it expressed like in different fonts and stuff in different ways. So I think it's kind of cool. I know a lot of people really weren't jazzed about it, but I don't know. It's like, it's weird thinking about Philly with blue and yellow because, you know, none of their other like mains, I mean, the Phillies are red, so that's kind of a weird, but I don't know. At first I was a little like, really? Like when the leak came out many months ago, I was kind of like, really, is that going to be it? But I think the way that they marketed it, watching their kind of videos about like connecting with Philly fans, I thought that was super cool. So I think they executed well for what they wanted to do. Like, they really connected it to that city. Some of the City Connects out there, you're like, it's like, it's not maybe super keen, like in tune, but the Philly one's really in tune with like their people. So I like it.
Yeah, I do like it. I like the colors a lot. They all just kind of, I love how they just kind of blend in together. But you've got my other favorite Philly uniform with your hat. For those not watching on YouTube, it is the powder blue with that like kind of cool maroon burgundy-ish color and the old school P. Those are my favorite. Just iconic.
That's my next jersey plan is to get one of the powder blue jerseys to match the hat, because I got this and it's just so iconic. Like, I have friends who actually don't like the powder blue uniforms, non-Phillies fans, of course. And I'm like, really? Like, they're one of the best in the game.
Yeah. Oh, those are my favorite. All right. We will break away from fashion and take a quick break to pay some bills. We'll be right back. This is where, when you're on YouTube, it's really awkward. All right, welcome back. All right, Let's get into this series with the Phillies. We know the White Sox are bad, as we do both painfully watch this team. And we just got word of pitching matchups. So currently we've got White Sox have Garrett Crochet, Mike Soroka, and Nick Nastrini. And then you just said they've got Spencer Turnbull, Zach Wheeler, and Aaron Nola. So that's a good starting three right there. But what else can you expect from this series with them?
I would say, you know, obviously Turnbull is our number five starter, but he has not been pitching like a number five starter. He's been very consistent in his first three starts. Was kind of someone that we picked up, you know, for a pretty cheap contract and was like, okay, what can he do? You know, can he just eat innings for us, whatever? But he's got a 1.8 ERA through three starts so far. And, you know, he's gotten us five innings per start, which, hey, it's something, you know, because Phillies do have a bullpen, and it's been okay so far. But I think that we should see some pretty good outings from these three because of our White Sox ability to not hit the ball.
Yeah, that's pretty.
I'm really scared. I'm really scared for when Zach Wheeler pitches. I'm frightened.
Oh yeah, he's so good. He is.
You know, just like his pitch mix is just so elite, and adding that splitter this year has only been even more deadly. And I don't know. I think the Phillies have actually lost every game Zach Wheeler's pitched in so far. I think this is going to be his first win.
Yeah, I was about to say it probably will. I mean, and Garrett Crochet, he's been great. He got a little roughed up recently, but those Reds were just very pesky.
I could see, because the Phillies offense has been very up and down, you know, a little bit. I could see if Crochet is especially nasty, it might just be a pitcher's battle that day between Crochet and Turnbull. You know, I know Phillies, you know, do have a lot of lefties that are kind of mainstays in the lineup. So, you know, we might see a lot of whiffs from the Phillies against Mr. Crochet.
Yeah. And then Nick Nastrini just got his first start the other day, and he looked great, but he has not faced the likes of really your entire lineup.
Having to have, you know, for Nastrini's first three batters, having to be Kyle Schwarber, powerful lefty, Trey Turner, followed by Bryce Harper, that is going to be his first real big test. Cause
yeah.
You know, the lineup he faced the other day was fine. They're doing good, but it's not some Hall of Fame potential talent right there. This is going to be a big test.
I was just happy that he was able to strike out Bobby Witt Jr. It's like, yeah, take that, Royals.
Yeah. First career strikeout against Bobby Witt Jr. Like, that's awesome. Like, it was just such a cool moment that gave us something to appreciate, you know.
For sure. So I feel like you have a lot of threats on your team. Who could kind of be the biggest, peskiest threat towards this team?
I would say Bryce Harper is starting to heat up a little bit. He had a really slow start to the year, which also hurt my fantasy baseball team. But yesterday he hit a really sweet RBI double and then a two-run homer late in the game. So if he's starting to find his stroke again, that could be really nasty. So I'm happy, you know, that Bryce is starting to heat up, but for my White Sox, I am absolutely terrified.
Yes. White Sox legend, Bryce Harper.
Yes. He got the banner.
It was in the United Center. It was supposed to be real. Bamboozled.
But yeah, Bryce Harper going to be a threat. Starting pitchers too. I mean, all considering they're seeing three really good dudes right now, who can get 6-7, probably maybe even 8 innings against our Sox. We'll see if they can hit.
Yeah. Yeah. The other night, I think there were probably 5 Sox pitchers at one point that were out. I had to cover that game. So it was not fun to see that they can't go very deep into any game.
Yeah. I mean, that's what some of these Phillies guys can do. I mean, we saw with Ranger Suarez last night, he was able to keep the pitch count low early on. And he was only at like, I think it was around only 90 pitches after eight. So it was a pretty easy choice for him to go out for the ninth inning. Whereas we might see guys getting up to 90, 100 pitches for the Sox in inning four, which is not ideal. Michael Kopech is just okay.
Oh, so what are the keys for the Phillies to take this series?
I think the pitching is going to be like a kind of, it's going to be a given that I think they're going to do pretty well. I think that there's not too big of a worry of the pitching on they can do well. I think this is going to be a continuation of what they're doing against the Rockies right now, is that can they just mash? Because they're going to be, they're facing team a clear that's clearly a lot worse in terms of pitching ability. So I think this is going to be a good time to try and really execute their offense as a whole lineup, not just one or two guys, but maybe this is where guys like Nick Castellanos can find a little spark. Maybe Johan Rojas, who sits in the bottom of the lineup and is a great defensive arm, maybe he can string together some more hits after his cold start. I think this could be a really good opportunity for that kind of bottom of the lineup to get a little on fire again.
Yeah, so you mentioned cold bats. Do you have any other fears as you do head to the series for the Phillies?
You know, I think on the flip side of what that key I just mentioned, if the bats are cold against the White Sox, you know, that's just not a great sign, because there should be a lot of opportunity to pile up some runs, you know, just because considering you're looking at below league average defense, not terribly great bullpen pitching, there's going to be a lot of opportunity for the Phillies to really do something. And if they kind of can't execute against this historically bad team, then that could definitely throw off some things for sure.
Yeah, we'll see how they do today. As we're recording, they're going to have a doubleheader today, so they could lose both, then really just break history on just being so bad.
Yeah, we'll have to see. We'll have to see what happens. It would be nice to see any source of runs. Please, come on, White Sox, please.
It'd be a dream. So moving away from our respective teams, how are you feeling overall? Like, do you have any hot takes, fun predictions? Like, where do you see this season going?
Oh, man. I mean, other than potentially seeing one of the worst teams in MLB history that we happen to root for, you know, there's been a lot of, like, really good guys across the league who maybe just haven't been there yet. Like, guys like we're not seeing, like, Julio Rodriguez is a name that sticks out. Acuna has been just okay. Like, there's been a lot of stars from last year, year before, that have just kind of gotten a okay start. Mm-hmm. And I'm really curious just to see where things go from here. Cause you got a lot of random or new dudes like climbing these leaderboards right now of stats. And like, is it just going to be some guys starting hot and then getting cold, or just kind of there's not really crazy runaways right now. Like, the Yankees have lost three in a row now after starting really, really hot. Mm-hmm. So I think, like, we're seeing a really good competitive mix this year. I think we're not really going to see like too crazy runaway of a Dodgers team that we maybe expected. We did. They're playing really great, but they've got a competitive division. They've got a lot of, you know, they've got some ups and downs too. Like, Tyler Glasnow got knocked up by the Nationals a little bit, which was like, whoa, like, you were looking really good for three starts and then got knocked up by a really bad team.
Yeah. And there's the thing about the Dodgers. I've said it before, like, they still really need to gel as a team, because you've got a ton of really big egos on that team right now. And not saying like Shohei has this big ego, but again, he's like bigger than baseball right now. And then you've got all these stars.
The thing I think about the Dodgers is that you've got someone as good as like Teoscar Hernandez sitting sixth or seventh in your lineup. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you know, you're seeing him high on the RBI list right now, because these guys ahead of him, they're going to get on base. And I mean, Mookie Betts is just a national treasure at this point. Last night he went 5 for 5. Like, you know, they're always going to have offense, but it's a matter of, can they, like you said, like, can they really gel as a team? And I would still say they're the best team in the MLB, like, by a good margin right now. But I think for them, it's like a matter of, can they just keep it consistent and stay healthy all year?
Yeah. And you mentioned the Yankees and losing 3 in a row. That is the toughest division. And those losses can really pile up and push the next man up. Like, you could see the Orioles taking that division if the Yankees are going to be cold, but, and, you know, vice versa. It's, that is up for grabs by just about anybody in that division. Any hot.
Yeah. Like the Blue Jays first. Like the Blue Jays right now, they're just being pesky with them. Yeah. Like, they're not really high scoring games, but the Blue Jays have a good team. The Orioles are great. The Yankees are good. The Red Sox, they were not expected to do anything.
Yeah.
And they have like the best, they have like the best pitching staff in the league right now. Like, who would have thought that when they had like Giolito out, Liam Hendricks out, our old friends, of course. They've had other guys go to the IL already, but they're playing good too. So it's like, you can't count anyone in the AL East really, which I was not expecting one bit.
Yeah, that's always just a brutal league to watch. I just love watching them kind of duke it out, because I like the Orioles enough, but I don't have like a claimed team in that division. So I'm just like, just fight it out. Fight for my love.
Yeah, Orioles are fun. You know, I see a lot of it through like Celeste Twitter and stuff, just like finding stuff on my feed. But all their young dudes are great. Jackson Holliday, maybe he got called up a little early. I could say that's a hot take. I think it was a little too early.
Yeah. No, I agree. It was all about time manipulation.
I get the whole time manipulation, but like, I don't think they needed him. Mm-mm. Like, he's only still gotten one hit, I think. So, you know, I think he could have definitely gotten some more experience in the minors, but hey, they're throwing him to the wolves. It's got to happen at some point.
Exactly.
But I think maybe a little too early.
Yeah, time will tell. Maybe he'll be able to adjust eventually, but I agree. I think it was a little early for him. Poor kid. Well,
yeah, he'll be fine though, because I mean, he's got 8 guys to protect him.
Yeah, he's in good hands at least. Did you see the new owner? He was tweeting out like his view from his desk, and he was like, what am I supposed to do out here? And it's like a view of Camden Yards, like, just that park is gorgeous. And I'm just like, oh, it would be so nice to have a competent owner.
I went there probably like a decade ago or so. Love it there. Like, Camden Yards is an awesome place. I definitely want to go back now that they have a good baseball team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that park is definitely, it's in my top 5 at least. We'll see how it changes, but.
My favorite thing about the Orioles' new owner was right around opening day, I saw a tweet that he was like at a bar, I think at the stadium or nearby the stadium, and he bought beer for everyone.
Yeah.
Like getting down, like, I'm so excited to be your owner, and like, I want to integrate with fans, and just like, that was a very cool scene to see.
Well, you were out tailgating on opening day for White Sox when you met their new announcer, John.
I did. That was very cool. I was just standing at the tailgate with some friends, and I see like a little tiny group of people start to huddle, and I see a very tall man. I'm tall myself, but John Triffin is taller than me. He's probably 6'3", 6'4". So he stood out like a sore thumb. I'm like, oh, hey, let's go meet him.
Yeah, that's one thing I appreciate about him. And, you know, he gets a lot of criticism, but he has at least made those attempts to meet fans, try to get in their good graces, because he knows that you can't replace Jason Benetti. Like, that was going to be a non-starter from, you know, the beginning. But I love that he was like out meeting people. He wanted to go to the 108. He wanted to do all of these different things, and he's out tailgating with fans. And I just think that's the best thing you can do.
Yeah, and he went so out of his way to do it too. Like, he didn't have to do any of this, but he, you know, I love seeing that tweet that morning of, hey, it's opening day. Like, I want to get out and meet 108 guys. And then everyone's like, go to the tailgate, go to the tailgate. We're not going to be there for like a bit. So I thought that was just like a really cool gesture. And I really appreciated my conversation with him for brief, you know, probably talked to him for a minute or two, but he was genuinely so excited just to be interacting with like all of us from Sox Twitter. And I get that, you know, it's only been a month and a half since he started with us and he's been getting some flack, but I think it's too early to really say anything. You know, he's got this whole season to really find his groove. Mm-hmm. And I think if he integrates with fans, you know, in the future too, I think that would only continue to help build that relationship too. So I'm definitely a positive on him. I like hearing him on the broadcast. He brings an enthusiasm that I think a lot of people are finding hard to appreciate right now.
Yeah.
Because our team's so bad, but I feel like I'm generally more on the optimistic side of like, and also just, hey, we got to appreciate any good that comes.
Yeah. So like, there's one person, Sean Janowski. I think that's how you say it. He does his like three Sox positives on Twitter.
Yeah,
game. And I'm that. Like, this is what we need more of because yeah. it's going to be a painful season. So it's nice to see people that are, yeah. that are positive.
We're going to see a lot of negativity, you know, this whole season. Like we're already in a hole as is, and we're, you know, 2-3 weeks into the season. But I think things as small as, hey, like the Nick Nastrini interview from the other night, that just made me smile. I'm like, this kid's so happy to be out there. And I'm excited to hear what Jonathan Cannon has to say tonight, because he's making his debut too. Like at this point, it's like we have to take any positives that we can just for our own enjoyment and sanity so yeah. that we can actually like, I want to stay invested the whole season, even if things are poor. Like Dominic Fletcher, I love the kid. Yes. He's great.
Yes.
And he's batting leadoff today.
He's probably the best hitter on the team right now.
Yeah, like him and Gavin Sheets are like, they're fun right now. Like, like it's been cool to see what he can do, and like it's a positive. And I think there are some people out there, like I've seen you even tweet about it too, like acknowledging that he's one of the fun people on our team right now, and that he's a young kid. Like that's great. It's awesome.
Yes, I am a full stan right now of his. I'm going to try to remain very positive with him.
Yes,
because you know they come in ebbs and flows. He's gonna regress, but it'll be all right. I'm gonna still try.
Yeah, if he's a league average hitter or even above league average hitter and playing good outfield defense, we'll take it. That's great. Like, hopefully, he can be a mainstay in the future. You know.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, that wraps up this episode. But please, before we do leave, let everyone know where we can find you, because you are a quality follow on that Hellscape app.
I'm on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. It's just my name, Brett_Hafner. Shoot me a follow. I tweet lots of White Sox things and the occasional Philly stuff too. Also give Sox on 35th a follow. I'll be doing some writing for them this season, which I'm very excited to have started with them. And yeah, that's where you can find me.
Awesome. Thank you so very much for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Crystal. It's always appreciated.
Yeah, good luck this series.
Ooh, I'm a little scared.